Hello, America. I want to talk to you about a friend of mine named Rod Eccles. You see, Rod's made a career out of kicking ass, and you want to know why? Because that's what Americans do. We don't talk pretty, and every now and then we step on a few toes. I'm okay with it, and I'm willing to bet you are too. I think we're ready for a healthy dose of truth, justice, and the American way. That's why I tune into Rod weekdays 9 to noon, and I pray to God you'll join me. So together, we can get back to making America great.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
The fastest 3 hours in internet talk radio is right here on The Rod Eccles Show, powered by Zinc Media Arts. I am your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from the Bunkerized Studio on this Wednesday hump day, August number 22 in the year of our Lord, 2018. The sun is starting, it's trying to peek out outside of the Bunkerized Studio from all the rain. I really honestly wish we could just dry out a little bit before we got any more rain. It would be kind of nice. God, hear our prayer. Let us, don't give us a drought. Just let us dry out for like a week or two first before the next rains. But that's not going to happen. I guess we could possibly see another. And it was heavy rain for a little while this morning, too. We could possibly see another heavy rain pattern coming in the beginning of next week. Yes, we're now, you know, this season has been, at least this, you know, for past month or so, it's been rather wet. So now we get a little bit of a taste of what it's like to have been Noah on Noah's Ark. I got some updated news for you on the Asia Argento story. But first, in the chat room, one of the chatters in the chat room, Chris, has asked a question about the Mexicans. And don't they descend from the Spaniards? Well, the simple answer is yes and no. I know somebody's thinking, what? Well, now let's back up in history. The Spanish conquistadors and the Spanish armies, they were very prevalent in much of North America, much more so than white Europeans were. Now, you got to remember, we're talking the Spaniards went, you know, they had Florida, half of Texas, California going southward. That's a predominant amount of land that the Spaniards were in control of. The Spaniards and the Portuguese. What is it? Does Venezuela or Brazil speak Portuguese? I always get them backwards. One of those two speak Portuguese and not Spanish. So you have a couple of countries south of our border that are dotted that speak Portuguese, but much of them speak Spanish. And that is because the Spaniards came and conquered. Now, when the Spaniards are not the type, were not the type of people that that would totally wipe out an entire culture or what have you. They would use those conquered peoples as slaves and concubines and all kinds of other things, and they intermarried. So really what happened was, is that in a lot of South American countries now, because of the Spaniards, they basically created another race, if you want to use that term race. And by mixing with the indigenous peoples, you know, the Incas and, you know, all the South and Central American Native Americans, and they basically so thoroughly mixed that they became another race, which is why we call them Latinos. Well, it's also called Latin America for other reasons, but this is why we call them Latinos, because they really are. Many of them are not the same as their Native American ancestors are, and they're not the same as their Spanish ancestors. They're a complete mix of them. And the reason why this has come about is because obviously you have a Spaniard and a Native American in the South that has a child, and somebody else who's a Spaniard and Native American has a child, and those two kids get together and they start having children. Well, that happened en masse in the southern and central parts of the country. Now, another place where this is, it's not just in South America and Central America. Another place on this planet where something similar took place, which also makes them look and sound very different from the rest of the people around them, and that is the Philippines. The Filipino people are heavily influenced by Spanish culture. That's why so many of them have Spanish-sounding names, including Spanish-sounding surnames, because of their long control by Spain. And there a number of different things happened in not too long ago history where the U.S. got control of the Philippines and other certain Spanish parts, which is why the Filipino language is so screwed up. I mean, you can listen to a Filipino talk, you know, half the sentence is in their original language, half the sentence is in Spanish, and half the sentence is in English. And it's a very difficult language to learn, not necessarily comprehend, but to learn, because the way they enter, you know, use three different languages all at once. So it becomes very complicated. But again, if you look at most Filipinos, look, even though they still have their Asian look about them, they look vastly different from any other Asian in Southeast Asia or anywhere in Asia, to tell you the truth. And again, it is because they began to so thoroughly mix that they were creating almost a new race of people. That's just the way history is, folks. And it's not good or bad. It's just what it is. And there's nothing wrong with it, but it creates a different kind of diversity. Now, again, not all Filipinos have Spanish heritage in them, but most of them do. And it is, you can see it in how they look. And if you look at it, it's almost just about anybody on the planet could pretty much pick out a Filipino from, even though you may have a difficulty determining, you know, Japanese have a kind of distinct look too, but you may look at, you know, somebody who's a Thai from Taiwan, or a Thai from Thailand. So it's not a Thai from Taiwan, they would be Taiwanese. Chinaman and a Korean, you could put them in and not put them together and not be able to really discern where they're from. But you throw a Filipino in there and people will say, yep, from the Philippines right there. Because that's how different they look. So it's again, not a bad thing. It's just what happened in history helped determine how they are today. So there is a distinct culture. And the Spaniards are, you know, people like to say about the British Empire, you know, the sun never set on the British Empire, and that at the height of the British Empire, and that may be true. But the greatest influence on world culture has had to come from the Spaniards. Because they did it so thoroughly. Now you can go to India, and there's quite a bit of influence of English culture in India. You know, a lot of Indians can speak English pretty well, even with a British accent, and they're completely Indian from India. But their culture was not as inundated as the Spaniards have done to many of their conquest. So there is that. And you know, the same thing with Hong Kong. I mean, Hong Kong was a British enclave, but they didn't make any kind of inroads as far as affecting that culture so thoroughly in Hong Kong. When Hong Kong was returned back to China, they, except for its economic part, it pretty much was China and always was China. And so it melded back in pretty gracefully. Again, it was just the economic part that was a conflict. Because the British did not do what the Spaniards did as far as, you know, inculcating the culture with their own so much. The Spaniards, on the other hand, they did it very well. And they created some very unique cultures because of it that we all tend to love to this day. So, again, it's not a bad thing. In some cases, you may say it's even a good thing, simply because of just the way the cultures were able. And I don't know if maybe even though, you know, the conquistadors were considered to be very brutal, they were also very to be able to do that. That also takes a lot of kindness to actually not just bring people forth into your religion, which, you know, the Spaniards were very Catholic and they did convert a lot of South America and Central America to Catholicism, but to actually blend and meld and create a new culture, much like what happened here in the United States. Except for they're not really a melting pot. It was just one foreign country that came in and melded. And that takes a culture that has some benign benefit side to it. They were not totally brutal conquerors. Oh yeah, they wanted to conquer you. They were very brutal, but once they had you, it wasn't, you know, total and complete destruction. It was more of a, well, you know, here, this is our culture, let's blend it together, let's see what we come up with. And that's how we get Latin America, folks, honestly. So when people say, oh, yeah, the Spaniards were just, they were awful. No, they weren't so awful. Now also keep in mind, the Spanish continent or subcontinent, Spain and Portugal, also had a heavy influence in its past from North Africa and the Middle East, the Moors. For a long period of time, you know, Spain and Portugal were under the control or rule or influence of the Moors. So there's a lot of influence there, too. So there's a lot of intermingling around this planet, people. I mean, it's just the way human history is. We haven't been all that separated for very long. Even going back, there's a lot of influence from the old Roman Empire in the Spanish subcontinent or peninsula. That's why a lot of Spaniards may have Latin sounding, when I say Latin, I mean Roman Latin sounding names as well. There's still a lot of influence, even, you know, some nearly 2,000 years later. But that's what happened in South America, and Mexico and places like that, and why they have such a unique look to them. And again, each country, because each of the countries down there, or their region of Central and South America, they also have very different looks simply because the Native Americans had different looks. So whoever the Spaniards intermingled with, it's probably pretty easy to pick out a Mexican in many cases. It's pretty easy to pick out what a Mexican looks like. I mean, there's a stereotypical look of them, and the same for Guatemalans. Guatemalans actually happen to look a lot. I'm just wondering if there's some Asian influence there, because they look at. I've been fooled by Guatemala. Are you Asian? No, I'm Guatemalan. What? Really? Man, you look kind of Asian. So they have that look. About a very distinct look about them too, and many of the cultures do. Brazilians are like Puerto Ricans, man. They run the gamut. I mean, you got some You got some Brazilians and Puerto Ricans that you would think are black because they even have the frizzy, curly hair. Well, there is that influence there, too, as well. Black slaves and escaped slaves and stuff have infiltrated, if you will, the Puerto Rican islands as well as Brazil, so which gives them that difference because some Brazilians are very dark naturally and some are very light, almost white. And so there's a huge mix. A lot of influences over history, but the main influence in south of the border comes from Spain with pockets of other ethnic backgrounds influencing certain local areas. Hope that answers your question a little bit. I'm not the best one to try to describe it, but I did my best. Update on Asia Argento. She may be in some hot water now. Yes, the Me Too has definitely turned into She Too. There are TMZ now has a picture of her with her then 17-year-old lover, Jimmy Bennett, in bed. Both of them appear to be shirtless. She does not have a bra on. She looks like, now everybody knows what people look like when they have good sex. There's a look of exhaustion on your face, sort of like, right? In this picture, she definitely looks that way. It's not like they just laid down and took the picture. But the weird thing is that Jimmy Bennett looks like he's totally fresh and his hair is perfectly coiffed. She's a mess. I'm just saying, just by the picture alone. But that's not the problem. Because, she could have, what are those halter tops? he could be shirtless. Guys are allowed to be shirtless. And she could have altered. You can't see that the lower part. I don't know if TMZ has a more full picture or not, but it's not what they publish. If it is a more full picture, then they've edited it to where you can't see the bosoms of either one. But it definitely appears as if they're both completely naked from the waist up. However, that's not the part that's really going to get her. The part that's really going to get her is evidently there is some text messages that have been leaked where she actually admits to having sex with him. She says, "I had sex with him. It felt weird." But then she says, "I didn't know he was a minor until the shakedown letter," meaning he later sued her back, I guess was threatening to sue her back in April of this year. And she settled with him for $380,000, which her current boyfriend, Anthony Bourdain, paid. Now, I don't hear anybody saying that was an illegal payment just to bring Trump into this. What do you think the $380,000 was for? Well, not to go to court and to keep it quiet. So she gave him $380,000 in hush money. And this didn't happen all that long ago because he was 17 at the time. He's only 22 now. So put two and two together. So it was a 2013 tryst when he was only 17. She claims she didn't. Now here's a woman that worked with him on a couple of different occasions. So she had to know what his age was and could have, maybe she couldn't add. But all she had to do was add up the numbers and realize that, not to mention, he was 17 at the time, but looking at all his pictures of that time, he looks like he's 12. How could you not know or at least question whether or not he was at least 18? So there is that now. She's in a world of hurt right now. And frankly, it couldn't happen to a better person. Well, she's claiming that Now it's a he said, she said thing, but where she says, well, yeah, he was a horny teen and he jumped me. Well, it didn't look like she fought him off. So what is she accusing him of rape? Now, on the other side, he said that he had problems and issues after that encounter and was so confused. Now, you got to remember that a lot of, especially when, this is why we have laws the way that we have them, where you're not, an adult should not be having sex with a minor. Because oftentimes a minor will confuse sex for love, and they don't have, their brains aren't developed yet at that particular point to be able to handle and sort that kind of emotion out. So they think they're deeply in love after they've had such, after they've had intercourse, because it's such an intimate thing. Multiply that by not having any life experience, not having your brain fully developed to be able to handle such emotions yet, and this is scientifically proven. And you've got, a perfect storm for a disaster. But I love you. And they don't even know what love is yet, really. And so when they're spurned by their older lover, who does know the difference between love and just sex, it's very confusing and hurtful to that youngster. And often, still because their brains have not fully developed on being able to handle their emotions, things get way out of hand in their own heads. And so this kid says, well, yeah, I mean, he claims he had to see a therapist after this, which is highly possible and plausible. Because there's also a little napkin, I guess, it's also been pictured, where he wrote her a note saying that he loved her. Well, she did not reciprocate. So for whatever reason, she found this 17-year-old boy to be a little hottie that she couldn't resist and wanted to bed him down. She got it. And now that she's been caught, she's trying to make all these excuses. Well, he basically, he was a horn dog. Well, you know what? Unless you're claiming that he raped you, you were the adult in the room. You could have easily handled the situation so it did not get anywhere. But you didn't. You were 37 at the time, Asia. 37. He was 17. You're 20 years his senior. Not to mention, you're running around accusing Harvey Weinstein. Again, it's highly possible that Weinstein did do to her what she claims, and other women as well. But you know what? I guess you took that lesson, because evidently what Harvey did to you happened before what you did to Jimmy. So I don't have any sympathy for her. Whatever sympathy I may have had for her is now out the window. And I know there's all these psychological things. Well, a lot of times, people who are, especially when they're kids, when they're abused, they grow up to be abusers. I get it. But you know what? You still made that choice. You didn't make the choice to be abused. I have sympathy for you there. But then you made the choice to become an abuser. I have no sympathy for you. Now, you could say, well, they both wanted it. Why not? I get that. But again, he's claiming that that's not exactly what happened. So, of course, there has to be an investigation to try to straighten this out, because it could be. I mean, there's a potential here for there to be, for her to have technically raped him. And again, a lot of people don't buy into this notion that men can be raped, but they can, because unlike women, guys can't turn it off. It's a biological response. It's built into us. Let me just be a little blunt here. A guy can get it up without being turned on. Just because he's, erect, let's say, it doesn't mean that he's sexually and emotionally aroused. Sometimes it just happens. And any teenage boy will tell you that. And 20-something young man. It's called morning wood. They didn't even have any dreams, but you wake up, there it is. It's a physiological, biological response to some sort of outside stimuli. And sometimes, for some guys, it doesn't even take much to stimulate it. That's all it is. It's stimulated. They're not aroused. They're not turned on. They're not horny, but it's been stimulated. Not to mention, there is this, now there seems to be a rise in male rape. And a lot of people are still asking, well, how is it possible? Well, because of a little drug, a new date rape drug called Viagra. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, men and women are putting Viagra into men's drinks. Much like men would do with, you know, with the date rape drug on girls. Yeah, well, now Viagra is now a date rape drug, uses as such. And I think we're going to find a lot more of this is going to come out pretty soon. So stay tuned for that kind of stuff, folks. I mean, this stuff is just getting, it is way out of hand.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eccles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Get to it. Today's holidays for August number 22 are thus. It is National Bayo Day. Now, these are a candied confectionery type of thing. I've never heard of, or not a candy, but it's an Asian delicacy, I guess. They're made in different kinds, different ways, different flavors, that type of thing. But just think of almost like an Asian steamed puff bun or puff pastry filled with delectable treats inside. It could be something sweet or something savory. But that's B-A-O, Bayo Day. Or is it Bao? Maybe it's Bao Day. National Be an Angel Day. You have to be so good today because it's National Be an Angel Day. Be like an angel. It's also National Eat a Peach Day. Got a couple of food ones today, huh? Eat a peach. Peaches are now coming into their season, ripe and such. So go to your grocery store or to your farmer's market and grab a peach, make some peach pie. Doesn't matter how, peach cobbler, doesn't matter how you eat it. Just eat a peach in order to honor today's holiday for peaches. It is also National Pecan Tort Day. I didn't know they could make pecan pie into a tort. Well, why not? You know, peaches and pecans are pretty much a southern thing. So if you're down south, you're going to have a wonderful day. You might get fat today, though. It's also Never Been Better Day. Pretty self-explanatory. Well, some people have been better. I can say that. It's also National Southern Hemisphere Day. Southern Hemisphere Hoodie Day. Who Day. That's the whole thing. Southern Hemisphere Hoodie Who. Creators Thomas and Ruth Roy Wellcat, creators of Strange Holidays, created this very strange thing. If you want to know more about what Southern Hemisphere Hoodie Who Day is, then go right ahead. I'm just telling you that's the holiday. I'm not going to even describe it. It's that weird. And finally, it is also National Tooth Fairy Day. Now, National Tooth Fairy Day is actually observed annually on February 28 and August 22. So you get 2 days a year. So if your kid has lost a tooth and puts it under his pillow, I think National Tooth Fairy Day, you're supposed to give him a little bit extra. It's dedicated to the mythological fairy who brings money or other gifts to toothless, smiling children. Those are your holidays for today, August number 22. Now, especially when it comes to peaches and pecans and boughs or bayo, please celebrate responsibly. Not really a correction, but it is true that women don't have to be aroused in order to have sex as well. Do you think prostitutes are aroused when they're getting paid to have sex with somebody? No. Let's just be a little bit blunt. All they really have to do is lay there. The male needs a little bit of extra help. Yeah, he can just lay there too, but there has to be a little bit of extra help in order to make it possible. Again, doesn't mean that they're aroused at all or that they even want it. Both sexes don't have to be aroused to have sex. I guess if you're married, I mean, a lot of people claim that they just go through the motions. Okay. But in any case, here's another story that goes along with, and of course, I am right once again, as I mentioned, about the rise in male rape. Well, maybe it's not an actual rise, maybe in the amount that or the numbers that are happening. Maybe it's just the fact that it's a rise in a number of men coming forward, due in part, ironically, to the Me Too movement. Daily News has a story today about just such a thing. An up-and-coming baritone singer alleges he was drugged and violently raped back in 2010 by two of opera classical music's shining stars, and he names names, David Daniels and Scott Walters. Daniels, now 52, the most famous countertenor in the world. I do not know anything about opera. I can't stand opera, don't know anything about it, so I'm not exactly sure what the hell. I know what a tenor is. I don't know what a countertenor is. He's been a favorite of the Met, the Metropolitan Opera, while his now husband, Scott Walters, who's 36, is a respected, worldwide respected conductor. The couple is so highly regarded that they were married back in 2014 by Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Anybody remember her doing this ceremony? I remember it being reported. This is that couple. Now, Samuel Schultz claims that in 2010, the same couple drugged and raped him following a performance in Texas, leaving him unconscious. He claims that he woke the next afternoon in a strange bed, disorientated, in pain, and bleeding from the rectum. Well, how else do you think they're going to have gay sex with him? Schultz was 23 then and a graduate student of Rice University, says he was frightened of the repercussions and hid the alleged event for years. But he said he was emboldened by the Me Too movement and upon learning that Daniels had made tenure at the University of Michigan as a professor. So, again, Me Too is now helping some men come forward. And we see this all the time. So this has been reported to various SVU units, special victims units in Michigan and in Houston, Texas. So evidently, Texas is worthy of the alleged. Well, yeah, it is where the alleged incident happened in Houston, Texas. So after a concert, again using a drug. Folks, this stuff, this this inside industry, entertainment industry, it is just replete with sexual predators for obvious reasons, because they feel they can get away with it. Why? Because just what this young man just said. If he came forward, the repercussions, his career would have ended before it even started. That fear is real, and that fear is accurate. Isn't this exactly what Harvey Weinstein is accused of doing? He could make or break a star, a female star, by their agreement or refusal to have sex with him. And if things got a little bit too forward and rough, well, hey, you mention anything about this, and your career goes nowhere. So a lot, and this is, it's not just Harvey. By the way, did you see the opening for, what's his name? A Billionaire Boys Club. Did anybody see the weekend receipt? Evidently, the weekend receipts for the opening of Billionaire Boys Club. For crying out loud, House of Cards star, what's his name again? Anybody? Oh, I can't think of his name at the moment. Well, that's, I almost said Timothy Robbins, but that's the wrong actor. Any case, $618. That was the report that I saw in more than one place, so I'm believing that it's accurate. And it was a big Hollywood production movie. $618, evidently. I don't know how that's even possible. I thought it for, evidently, that was this whole weekend take. Now, I thought it was just for one theater. But evidently, the story is that that seems to be, in other words, less than a grand. Does anybody think it's going to be in theaters this weekend? I don't think so. But anyway, less than $1,000. I mean, I've seen, you know, short movies, movie shorts, short films, you know, 15 minutes long or something, from college students. Make more than that. we're talking a big Hollywood production here. To be frank, I think that the studio really didn't want it to go anywhere anyway. There wasn't a whole hell of a lot of marketing behind it. I think maybe I saw it mentioned once. I did see the movie advertised once on Instagram. That's the only place I ever heard of it. So I don't think that the studio put much behind. I think they delayed it, and then because of all the sexual allegations, you know, sex with I guess they're not calling it rape, but forced sex with young male men. At least they were all 18, from what I understand, in his particular case. So at least there's no child rape involved there. But still, this is, it's awful, folks. It's awful. We've got this thing where it seems to be where boys again are attacked by both sides. And this, if there's one thing you can honestly say about lesbians, is that they don't generally rape women. They don't, and they don't generally. Now it's not 100%, obviously, but they don't generally also go after underage girls. It seems that men do both of that mostly to underage girls and boys, but more often to underage boys. And we're almost, and I say almost, please hear, understand this, we're almost relieved. When a man is messing around with underage girls. I mean, that's horrible. That's why I said almost relieved, because doing it to boys is just, is horrendous. And it really mixes up a kid's head, a young man's, am I gay? Am I not gay? What am I bi? Did I like it? Why didn't I scream? Why didn't I fight him off? You know, I'm younger. I'm supposed to be faster. What? All of this underage male sex victims are so screwed up. It really damages them for life. It's just one. It doesn't matter who does it, male or female. Like the whole Jimmy Bennett thing. The kid was so screwed up, he had to see a therapist. That's how it. And it doesn't take away from female victims. I'm not saying that at all. That's a whole different set of problems there. I mean, yeah, that girl is going to be screwed up for life. She's probably not going to be able to trust men. And we know how difficult of a time that they have too, and they have to see therapists. But at least they're not questioning who they are or their sexuality in that way, where boys often do when they're raped or abused by a male. Simply because it doesn't typically happen on the female side that way. I don't know why. I can't even begin to speculate, because women rape men. Why don't they do that to other women? Except on a rare occasion? I don't know. I guess women aren't wired that way. Again, not saying that's a bad thing or a good thing. It's just that men and women, our brains are different for various reasons. But all of this stuff is very bad. You cannot, I implore people, you cannot put your kid into that cesspool of the entertainment world. Odds are male or female, odds are your kid's going to get screwed up. Odds are your kid's going to get screwed. Double entendre intended. Unless, of course, you know, like Elijah Wood has pointed out, his parents were always on top of him. One or both were always with him. There was no chance for anything like that to happen to him because of his parents. If you're going to do that, put your kid into the entertainment industry, you had better understand that you have got to be by their side 100% of the time. Especially if your kid is halfway good looking, male or female. You're going to need to be by their side. If you're not prepared to do that, then don't get your kid involved in the entertainment industry. You're going to have to be that stage mom or stage dad where everybody hates seeing you because you're always there. And if you don't cause ruffles by your negotiating tactics and trying to get more money for your kid, if that's not the reason that they don't like you, then you know you need to be by your kid. Because they're upset because they can't get the kid alone. That's your first indication. If you're otherwise pleasant to work with, and negotiations are usually fairly easy, and your agent and everybody just loves you, but the industry doesn't, that's your first indication that your kid is a target, and you can never leave their side. So if you're not prepared to do that, do not put your kid into the entertainment industry. I don't care what it is, music, if it's acting, if it's modeling, do not do it. And if you have an underage child and the photographer says you got to leave the room because nobody's allowed to stay in, say, well, too damn bad, because if I leave the room, so's my child. You've got to be difficult that way. You can't, because this is when this kind of stuff happens, when the parents aren't around, obviously. and you don't let your kids go to any parties. You know, rap party for a season on a show or a movie, you got to be there. But that's it, and you don't stay late. And you don't take your eye off that kid, because before you know it, and I've heard stories about this, you know, a parent is at the party, the parent, you know, it gets talking and loses track of the kid. Next thing you know, the kid comes back, he's all disheveled, and nobody knows what happens until months or years later. I'm telling you, it's that fast. I've heard stories. And I know how bad it is. You know, I think I've mentioned it on this program before. And when I was 17, 18 years old, I went to modeling school. You know, you pay for that stupid Barbizon stuff. And I started getting modeling gigs and auditions. Even went on an audition in New York City. And let me tell you, the phoniness, the fakery, the eyes that are on you uncomfortably. Oh, that cured me of ever wanting to be an actor. I wanted nothing to do with that. Now imagine somebody who doesn't have that wherewithal to just walk away. No, I didn't go to New York City when I was 17. I went down there when I was 19 years old. One of my first times my first time as an adult being in New York is going to an audition. Off Broadway stuff. Some seedy little stage place. It was awful. I was scared to death to be there. But obviously I didn't get the part. I wasn't nervous about the audition. I was nervous about where I was. And I think that probably came out in the audition. Honestly, I was scared to death. One, I didn't know where the hell I was. And you know, you heard that, see, it's at a time when New York City was not exactly one of the safest big cities on the planet. So you had all that running through your mind, and I was just wondering, well, geez, I just got to get out of here so I can get out of town. That's all I kept thinking about while I was doing my little audition. So that obviously I didn't get it. I was a nervous wreck, not because of the audition, but because of where I was. Yeah, it was that seedy. But seeing that kind of stuff on such a, you know, what you call it, Z level. You know, because you have A-listers and B-listers. And on a Z-lister level, it was awful. Now, can you imagine as you move up the ladder? It's one of those awful things. In any case, if you're gonna put your kid into this kind of situation, and if you ever feel uncomfortable and you're an adult, then don't go anywhere alone with anybody. And if somebody threatens your career, walk away. Just walk away. And if anybody does anything to you sexually that makes you uncomfortable, I don't care how old you are or where you are, report it as quickly as you possibly can. Do not wait. Do not wait. The only way to stop this nonsense is by people who are victims of it to take action as soon as possible. Don't wait years. Don't allow yourself to be paid off as hush money. Just take action. And one of the, look, this also comes down to, it's more than just you, especially when it comes to kids. And we've got a number of, you know, child sex trafficking highways that lead into this country, that lead out all over the world. And if we're ever going to stop any of this kind of stuff, people have to take action, and parents especially have to be a lot more vigilant than they are with their kids, especially in certain areas of the country or in certain industries. I can't stress that enough. You gotta be a parent, full-time parent, all the time. I got a bunch of other stuff here today as well, but we're going to probably have to hold off on some of this stuff until paper pile of Friday. The new story, new breaking story. I guess detectives are now looking to question Asia Sargento. When they will be able to do that, I don't know. But as soon as they do and they report on it, I will let you know. But yes, these leaked texts are going to be very bad news for her. And evidently, the police have them now, and they want to ax her some questions, as it were. But in any case, you know, thanks for Agent 0010 for his report this morning and proving once again how pretty damn smart and knowledgeable our president is, and how others, the swamp, just want to sell us out. But we're going to be watching all the developments today, so you're probably going to hear more on other programs like Rush and Hannity about the Cohen and Manafort thing, but we'll also get to whatever else comes out. We'll talk about it tomorrow as well. Until then, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful hump day. Hopefully it's sunny where you are. Until tomorrow, thanks for tuning in. I'm Rod Eccles. I'm out.